Father, without you, we can do nothing that is going to value the next level of our walk with you. But with you, we can do all things. Let us press on to be obedient to what you've called us to be and what you've called us to do. I started hearing from the Lord yesterday that there was a commission that he wanted me to bring forth before the end of the year. And I thought, oh my God, there's not much time left. And I said to the Lord, what is it that you want? And he pressed me to listen to a program. And it was about the focus of people that needed to be changed. And he reminded me of some of the things that he did with me when I first began to, let's say, obey him. How many have ever had a parent that was misbehaving? A mom or a dad that just didn't do according to what you expected. So you all qualify, because I think I got most of your hands up. So I had a major problem with two parents. They both were very, let's say, damaged people. They found each other, buried each other, and later on I came into the picture. Unbeknownst to me, those difficulties that they had in their childhood developed and magnified. And as a byproduct, they ended up trying to cover their pain. And needless to say, they became alcoholics. I know you've heard that before. But. And in one of my struggles, my anger and my resentment started to show up. And I had made a decision after seeing a psychiatrist because he had given me an ultimatum. Now, when you don't know what else to do, you go to the doctor. Amen? The doctor's supposed to have the right opinion and the right things so that you can get healed. Now, he gave me these wonderful little pills. 20 milligrams every 4 hours and you're going to be fine. Well, 20 milligrams every 4 hours stopped the pain in my chest, but I was heading in the same place where both my parents were now living, using meds and booze to erase the pain. And to make a long, long story short, this one particular morning, as I had been studying the Word of God, the Lord began to show me that there was a problem with my dad, because he was my biggest complaint. And I couldn't communicate it to him because there was a lot of damage that had been done. He had hardening of the arteries of the brain. He had many other things. He had all kinds of arthritic problems. He couldn't hardly function. He had been declared disabled by the best doctors in the area. To make a long, long story short, the Lord said, your problem is not your dad. And I had just learned Ephesians 6:12. My battle is not against flesh and blood. Well, in case you've got a problem with parents right now, I want you to declare with me Ephesians 6:12. Try it on. Ephesians 6:12 says, my battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In high places, designed to destroy me, not to build me up. So as I was driving to work, I heard the same negative spirit that's operating in you is operating in your dad. Yuck. That is not what you could call a very happy revelation. The same negative spirit that's operating in you, Kim, is operating in your dad. I did a double yuck. Because I didn't want to hear what the problem was. How many know you don't like to see self? But God was designing a plan of revelation so that I could get freedom. He told me the problem with me was that I was too proud. And he told me that my dad had the same problem, so neither one of us was going to bend our knees, so guess what we were doing? Butting heads. So I said to the Lord, because you see, the Lord said, honor is a seed for access to the blessing. Try it on. Tell your neighbor. Say, honor is the seed that I need to put out that will access the blessings that I need. That includes my wallet. Oh! How many have dollar signs already? How many could use a few thousand this week? Well, gee, I didn't have any problem on that one, did I? God was trying to show me that I needed to get off my pride so that God could release blessings to me, and I needed to change some things within me. And they had to be changed by choice rather than by emotions. So if you listen to your emotions, you're going to stay angry, you're going to stay bitter, you're going to be staying resentful, and you're going to get hurt. Amen? If you want the blessings of God, you've got to start giving out what? Honor. It's a seed. It starts by putting it into which heart? Yes, you start honoring yourself. If you don't have honor and love for yourself, forget it. If you don't have honor for your mother and your father, what's going to happen? No blessing. No financial blessing, no health blessings, no blessings in your house. You say, wait a minute, I don't agree. Well, I want to take you for a little walk in God's Word. You ready? Exodus. Okay? Chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Well, what if they don't deserve it? According to whose opinion? They don't deserve it according to your opinion, then who is the God of your self? Maybe it's you. And in my case, I needed to get off the throne. I needed to give it back to the Lord. So when we give honor to our mom and our dad, no matter what they've done, no matter how much they have failed, no matter how much they have pulled off the regular or godly places that they should walk, they still deserve to receive honor from us. And we need to remember that there might be some negative spirits that use them like they're using us. So that's the first one that I want you to see. Now I'm going to go a little deeper, and I want you to kind of flow with me on this one, because knowing that God knows all the things that you and I need to do, we need to be able to really look at the next level. Leviticus 19, verse 3. See, here, the word of the Lord takes you a little higher. Each of you must respect his mother and father and must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. That's a day of rest. It's a day to honor God. It's a day not to do your own thing. It's a day set aside so that God can become a part of your focus. Should I get a little amen there? Deuteronomy 27, verse 16 says, "Cursed is the man who dishonors his father and his mother." Now that is not pleasant to hear. Cursed. Deuteronomy 27, 16 is the man who dishonors his father and his mother. Then all the people shall say, Amen. And it's confirmed in Proverbs 1:8, Proverbs 20:20. So if you need two or three extra, look it up. It's a joy to know that when God begins a work in you and me, He wants us to mature and He wants to bless us. He is not interested in putting more curses or placing more curses on ourselves because we've chosen to have an attitude. Please, are you with me? If you choose to have that attitude, He'll respect you to have that attitude. But you're the one that's putting yourself in the curse. You want to stop the flow of finances in your house? Keep on cursing your parents. That's all you got to do. It's not God's fault. It's you. It's your selfishness. It's your attitude that needs to change. And you need to humble yourself and ask God to forgive you. Because if you don't, you're going to continue the process. And as I was listening to this, I remember a word that was given to the body of Christ on Tuesday night to one particular person. Continue your priesthood. Now I'm picking on him. Continue your priesthood. What is that priesthood? To repent for the mistakes of your parents if they don't know how to do it. Amen? That might include those that are on the other side. Yeah. You say, wait a minute, what are you trying to tell me? It's called the communion of saints. Hebrews chapter 11, the very last verse says, they cannot be completed unless you do your homework. Whoa! You want me to intercede for those that are dead? They're not dead. They're alive in Christ. You see, their flesh may be in the ground, but their spirit's at work, doing what God has anointed them to do. And your job is to lift them up. Not to curse them. Your job is to change what they did wrong and repent for them. And you know, oh my God, where did you get your example, Kim? Look at Jesus on the cross. I mean, if you would like to forgive somebody that just put nails in your feet and nails in your hand, put a crown of thorn in your head, whipped you 37 times or 39 times for every disease, and then he says these wonderful words, would you forgive them, Father? They haven't got a clue what they're doing. You see, the attitude of the humble man that said those words, yes, they laid his flesh in a tomb, but you know what? Death couldn't hold him. Death could not get its way. I'm convinced that when he was in that tour that he took, I mean, let's face it, 3 days is a good sized chunk of time, especially when you're being tormented by a bunch of devils. And they're probably dancing around thinking they've finally had their victory until the Holy Ghost shows up. When the Holy Ghost shows up, who's got the last laugh? You see, when you start asking God to forgive your family and your ancestors and even your children and your grandchildren for what they're doing wrong, what do you think happens? The doors of heaven begin to open. They begin because you've made the choice. When you start feeling it within you, when you start sensing the pain of your father or the pain of your mother, or the pain of both, and you start having tenderness towards them, what happens then? Thank you. You're breaking the hold of the darkness, not only over them, but over you. The ultimate goal is to set who free? us free and them free. God is interested in your family. I came from brokenness. I came from selfishness on multiples of levels. And I said, Lord, I don't want that for my little ones. Kirsten, do you want that for Daniel? No. You want everything good for that baby. There's not a man or a woman alive that doesn't want every blessing for their child. And you know, you're going to get it if you begin to change your heart. And the one that's in charge is me. Amen? Proverbs 30, verse 17 is a little bit difficult. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. I mean, talk about hell. That is not pretty. It is not pretty at all. Matthew 15, verse 4. For God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. I mean, that's not an easy way. Who are you going to put to death? Selfishness. Everything that you think about yourself that needs to be adjusted, it's got to be done by you by making a choice to doing it God's way. It is written. It is written. Why is it written? Because when it's written, you have a truth and a solid foundation to stand on. And then you can activate your will. And the enemy cannot dominate or damage or interfere in your free will. Now, where are you going with this? I'm going to show you the son of Abraham, Isaac, Genesis 26. Genesis chapter 26. Isaac had some of the same weaknesses as his dad. And if you look back, you'll be able to find it. But I'd like you to, chapter 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land, meaning what? A recession. Amen? Besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, did you see verse 2? The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. So, why are you here in the house of prayer? Because God has called you here. For how long and for what purpose? That's up to him. But you're here today. Verse 3 says, stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she's my sister! How many know that's a lie? So he's afraid, right or wrong? If he is bound to fear, what happens? He's got to know about it. You think maybe Abraham had told him what he had said to Pharaoh? I mean, is that weakness passed on to Isaac, even under the anointed of God? Come on now, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Is it true you've seen some things of yourself within maybe the past 6 months or a year that were in your dad and mom? If you have, put your hands up. Look around. See, what am I saying to you? God is working on all of us. You're no exception. Okay? Now, I mean, when you listen to this guy, I mean, it's like listening to his dad. she is my sister, because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. I mean, pretty cool, right? He thought should also be circled. It's a thinking process. The fear tactics will work on you like they worked on your dad and on your mom, grandparents and great-grandparents. The men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca because she is so beautiful. Amen? So, think about that. Think about the reality of what this man is really doing. Okay? Verse 8. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from his window and saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebekah. Well, wait a minute here. Do you think there were some wonderful things going on between this husband and wife? Yeah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, she is really your wife. It wasn't just a normal caressing. Because he declared, she is your wife. So the cat's out of the bag. Why did you say she is my sister? Isaac answered him, because I thought I might lose my life on account of her. Second Timothy 1:7. God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. Do you think Isaac knew that? I don't think he knew it. But I think he was learning it. Because now he was confronted by the king. And he confessed his sin. John chapter 5. Confess your sin to each other that you may be. All right. Confessing. Confessing to your father. Confessing to your mother. Confessing your level of anxiety over their failures. When it's right. When it's anointed of God. There's nothing wrong with that. Saying to them, I love you and I respect you and I honor you. I don't, however, want to copy your mistakes. See, there's a difference. You can honor them and love them and compassionately support them without dishonor. You can do that. And you can lift them up. And what happens to you at that point? You are walking in freedom. And the pride starts falling down. Amen? Verse 10. Then Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, anyone who molests this man or his wife surely will be put to death. Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year reaped. He what? What did he reap? 100-fold. Because the Lord blessed him. So what's the problem? Why can't you get your blessing? Why can't you get a harvest? First of all, you've got to give. You've got to give financially, you've got to give honor. Because if you don't, they're tied together. And you've got to come out of fear. Because when you're walking in fear, you're serving mammon. And fear of mammon. You've got to obey the Lord to the best of your ability. And keep on walking. I can remember this one time. This is many years ago. And I'm sitting at Charlotte, North Carolina, in a conference. And I'm sitting like where John is right now. Okay? And about to my right at that time, was a young black man. I would say maybe 17, 18, 19, 20. He was facing the forward end. I kept hearing in my heart, I want you to bless that man. Tim, I want you to give him some money. Now, I knew they were going to pass the basket. So, I must have heard it at least 3 or 4 times, so I finally decided I'm going to get ready. So I said, God, you've got to also bring him over to me. Because if you don't bring him over, how is this going to go to him? Because, you know, people split when the time of the conference is done. Well, I took the money that I was going to put in the offering, and I put it in my left hand, and I folded the other money, and I put it in my right hand, and I kept it, kept my hand shut. Well, all of a sudden, the gentleman who was in charge said, okay, now I want you to greet your neighbors. Oh, this is cool. And guess who comes right smack in front of me? So I opened my hand, and I pressed in the finances, and I gave it to him, and I closed his hand. And I said, the Lord said, to give this to you, be blessed, and continue to walk with the Lord, or something to that effect. So the service continued. Now, 20 minutes or a half hour later, it's all done, and the people are all leaving. And so my wife and I found our way out the side aisle or whatever, and we walked towards the back, and there's about 8 black people standing together in a clump. And they're waiting for us, and they're eyeballing my wife and I. And you know when you get stared at by, you know, a whole group of people that you don't know? But unbeknownst to me, this was this little boy's family. And this little boy was entering college, and God had told the young boy that he was to go to a certain college, and the parents didn't have any finances to do it. And they had asked the Lord to confirm it at that service. And they expected a word from the stage, but they didn't get a word from the stage. They got a word by God giving me the instruction, told me what to give, and I gave it. I mean, that entire family was going, ha ha, you know, God did it, God did it. He used you. And of course, my wife had no clue, so she thinks that these black people are questioning us for something different. And so she said, then what did you do? Like, you know, blaming me. And I said, well, I'm guilty. I gave the man a gift. Okay? But you see, it was the body of Christ functioning according to the rules of the Lord. Okay? And I'll never forget it because the joy in that whole group, because now they knew God will supply our needs. And we're not under the curse, we're under the blessing, because a stranger came and blessed their boy. It wasn't the guy at the altar, it was somebody from the audience. Look at your neighbor, say, you could be my blessing next time. All right. See, what I'm trying to show you is the pattern. What I'm trying to show, wait a minute now, what's going on back there? Yeah? Oh. So she needed a phone call and the amount would be declared, right? Sweet, sweet. That's one way to get blessed, right? She'll know how much. Praise God. Are you catching on to what God is saying today? Are you catching on to obey? The rest will fall into place. Okay? See, he got 100-fold when? 30 years? The same year. Well, how much have you got left of this year? Aha! I'm not trying to be sneaky. I'm trying to give you the pattern that God wants you to do. Because it's not a pattern I want you to hear. It's the pattern I want you to do. If you don't do it, don't expect a harvest. If the farmer takes all his corn and he decides that he's going to eat it all and he doesn't save any to put into the ground for next year's harvest, what happens? No harvest. Okay? So, this is a double-edged sword because you see, the Lord was saying to me, make sure to thank the body for all those who have been faithful to give to us this house of prayer. because we have blessed many nations, different peoples in different lands. We have been obedient to the best of our ability. Did we do it all right? I pray. We did the best we could. The gift that you guys gave out to Jezreel came up to how much? Almost 100. We doubled it. Okay. Okay, so what you gave ended up with 400 going into an international ministry out of Albany that touches I can't tell you how many nations. That's because of your obedience. Your obedience is all important. All I can say is all important. But as you obey and you plant seeds in believing that God is going to bless you. Because if you don't expect a harvest, it's like the guy who is planting his seed of corn saying, well, the crows are going to get it. Your words are going to have some effect upon your harvest. Are you planting believing to receive? And if you haven't, change your heart. Close your eyes, please. Take the person's hand next to you if you have somebody. I don't want you to jump around. I just want you to just take the hand. If not, just lift your hand to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, today, any level of obedience that I need to come into, I need your grace to do it. Because without grace, I won't be able to obey. So I'm asking you now, Father, any unforgiveness in my heart concerning my parents, both my mom and my dad, they're only an example of the future. And I don't want to be caught by negative forces and by pride, because today, as an act of my will, I forgive them, I set them free, I ask that you wash them clean with the blood of the Lamb, like you've cleansed me. I ask that you hold no sin against them and to change my expectations so that I will receive a new blessing this year. I don't want to go in like I did last year. I want to be different. And when I put seed in the ground, when I give from my finances to anybody, including the house of prayer, I will get a harvest. I will get a harvest. I declare it now. I will get a harvest. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's all I got.